All right. Well, Happy New Year. It's 2026. Amazingly so. Yeah. I can't believe it's already 2026. So I'm glad you guys are here this morning. And I'm excited to see what God has got in store for us in this new year. I was blown away by what God did this last year, and I know he has even more in store this year because he's a good God. And so I'm excited to see what he has in store for us as we continue on in this year. And so this morning, we're going to start a new series, and it's called Seek First the Kingdom. And so before we jump into it this morning, let's just pray. Lord God, we just thank you again for what you did in 2025. And Lord, we look forward to this coming year, and we wait with expectation, Lord, of what you are going to do this year. And Lord, we just even this morning surrender our hearts and our minds to you, and we say, do what you want. Lord God, from the very beginning, we surrender to you your will. So speak to us what you want to speak to us this morning, Lord God, and just begin a new work, a transformative work in our hearts and minds this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 All right. Well, as it is a new year, many of us start thinking, okay, a new year, maybe it's time to turn over a new leaf. What do I want to do this year? Maybe I have some goals and some ideas of things that you want to accomplish. Maybe some of us want to actually hit the gym after we've been saying we're going to do that for years on end. Maybe want to learn a new skill. I keep telling myself I'm going to learn Spanish, and it's a very slow process for me. Maybe some of you have the idea of getting a degree in something or getting a new job. Or maybe if some of you are like, man, I would really like this year to be the year I get married, and you're dropping hints to your significant other. But anything that we are thinking about, we first should submit to God and first should look to God. Matthew 6 tells us about all the different things that we can think about and worry about and plans and all these different things. And then Jesus tells us in verse 33 of Matthew 6, says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you, or I will give you provision, or I will give you direction, and you won't have to worry about all these different things. It's amazing for me, like, as I set my heart on God, I'm just speaking to you from, like, personal experience, how as I just focus on God and my relationship with him, and he'll drop hints into my heart and my mind, is like, hey, maybe you should do this. Maybe this will actually be more beneficial for your health. And I'm like, okay, I guess I'll start giving up drinking soda. And so I actually haven't had soda for a long time. And I was like, yeah, that's probably good for me. And then, you know, finding all these studies that, yeah, that endless amounts of sugar that they put in it might not be good for my health. It's like, oh, okay, God, you actually led me to this decision before I even found out the research on this. Like, God can lead you into things. You don't have to go researching everything on your own. God can lead you into his good and his perfect will for your life. So seek first the kingdom. In this verse, the word seek means desire. Desire first God's things. And that word first means first in time and importance. So desire, let it be the greatest desire of your heart and your life. And let it be the first desire. Like the first desire, even when you wake up, Lord, before anything else, before I start thinking about the things that I need to do today, before I start worrying about what I need to do for work or what I need to do with the kids or whatever it may be, before any of that, Lord, I set my heart on you. And I look to you and I seek first you and your righteousness. A little farther back in that chapter in Matthew 6, God or Jesus led his disciples in the Lord's Prayer. And he starts it off with this. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done. So when we seek first the kingdom, we're saying, God, I want your will to be done. And so we can look, and it's my heart in 2026 that we do see God's kingdom come here in Grace Harbor, in Aberdeen, in my family, even more so. And we should want to do that. We should want to build God's kingdom and see it be established here on earth as it is in heaven. And so we can get these ideas of, all right, we're going to seek first the kingdom. We're going to build God's kingdom. Let's get to work, right? Let's start doing. Let's start building. Let's start working. But I would say in doing that, before we start doing anything, before we start trying to build God's kingdom, we should slow down a little bit and not put the horse before, or put the carriage before the horse. How many have tried your hand at carpentry in here? A little bit? Some? Okay. I've tried my hand a little bit. And if you have worked in carpentry or any type of building, there's this saying that is very wise saying that you should live by, which is measure twice, cut once. That's good. But I can tell you, I don't know how many times I've made multiple trips to Home Depot on the same day because I didn't follow that rule. Oh, it's you again. Yes, it's me again. You're buying the same board. Yes, I'm buying the same board. I thought it was 36 inches long and or like a sheet of plywood, 36 inches long and 24 wide, but it was the other way around, and I cut it backwards again. My wife says, how much is this project going to cost? So we don't want to put the carriage before the horse, which means, and, you know, it's easy to do. We tend to get impatient as human beings. We want to see things happen. We want to see work taking place right away. But for us to know how to build the kingdom and to seek the kingdom in the right way and to see it built in the right way, we first need to know the King of the kingdom. And we need to know how he wants his kingdom built, not how we think it should be built. So his will be done, not our will, or what we think his will be. And so to know how to build his kingdom, we need to know God. We need to know who he is and his character. The longer that I've been married to my wife, the longer I've been with her, the more and more I get to know her, the more and more I know what she likes and what she does not like. So over the course of the 20 years that we've been married, I know that she gets motion sickness easily. And so I'm not going to be taking on her on any roller coasters. She even gets motion sick on movies that have fast-moving scenes and stuff, so I know that I can't watch those types of movies with her. I know she doesn't like swimming with fish around her. Ask me how I know that later. I know she doesn't like scary movies. I do know that she likes coffee a lot and being taken out on coffee dates. I know she likes sunsets and golden hour. And I know she likes spending quality time. Her big thing, she loves quality time, and she likes spending quality time with her family. I also know that she likes spending quality time away from her family. But I found out all these things by spending time with her. Not just assuming that these things she will like, or she's just going to like the things that I like because I like these things. She must like sitting in front of a TV screen watching a baseball game for 3 hours. No, she doesn't enjoy that. But the more time that I've spent with her, the more things that I've found out that make her happy. And the more that I find out what makes her happy, I want to make her happy, and I do these things. So I want to speak to us this morning about this notion of coming in and going out. And as you watch the children of Israel wander through the wilderness, Moses would do something every day. He would go into this tent and he would enter into the presence of God and speak to him face to face. And he would do this time and time again. He would go in and he would meet with God and he would talk with God. As you can see here in Exodus 33:11, it says, "Thus the Lord used to speak to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend. When Moses turned again into the camp, his assistant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, would not depart from the tent." So Joshua as well did that. And actually, before Joshua ever, he went on to lead Israel into the promised land after he succeeded Moses as the leader. But before any of the leading took place, any of the going out took place, they first spent time in the presence of God, where God would meet with them face to face and talk with them and then give them the direction in which to lead the people in what to do. So before we start trying to do anything, we need to know who God is, know his character, and know him personally. So we need to seek God first. And Proverbs 8:17 says this, "I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently will find me." Jeremiah 29:13 says, "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." To seek diligently and to seek with all your heart takes some time and effort. God wants to know if you're really after him or if you're just really after the benefits that he can give. "Okay, God, I'm here. Just give me my marching orders and let's go." It's like, no, I want you to know me. That's what the main thing is about, is not you just doing things for me, but knowing who I am. So spend time in his presence. Get to know the character of God. How do we do that? You can do that by reading his word. But it's not just about reading the word and reading and knowing the rules or knowing the blueprints in which to build with. It's about knowing the builder, the one who made the blueprints. Now, the Pharisees knew the blueprints front ways, back ways, sideways, every which way. But when Jesus confronted them, he said, "Yeah, you know the building plans, but you don't know the builder at all." And when you come to something that is not explicitly said in the blueprints, you guys don't know what to do. Because you don't know the heart behind what the builder had in writing out these blueprints and plans. Because you haven't taken the time to know him personally. And that's what it's really about, is knowing God personally. And when you begin to spend time with him, you begin to learn and understand his character, and you begin to learn why he wrote these specific rules, why he set them up, why he wants us to live a certain way and do certain things. Not just what it is to do, but why we are to do it. And when you get the heart behind the why, it just opens you to a whole new level of understanding. Not of just what to do, but how good God is. Oh God, that's why you told me not to do that. You didn't want to just rob me of fun and so that I didn't, you know, get to enjoy soda anymore. You were trying to keep my body healthy. I used to drink so much soda when I was in high school. I could not do that now that I'm in my 40s, but come to the realization that maybe that much sugar is not good for my body. Oh God, that is why you wrote in your word that I should do certain things. Just as, maybe that's why I shouldn't steal. Maybe that's why I shouldn't lie. Maybe that's why I shouldn't have any gods before you. Mark 12:30 says this, "And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength." So when we come to something in our lives, in today, that is not explicitly talked about in the Bible, what do? Is there anything in the Bible about social media? I don't see the term Facebook or Instagram or TikTok in there anywhere. So if it's not in there, it must mean that God didn't really care about it. No, but when you begin to spend time with God, other parts of Scripture become illuminated to you that kind of speaks to that. 1 John 2:15 through 17 says this. It says, "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes and the pride of life, is not from the Father, but it is from the world. And the world is passing away along with its desires. But whoever does the will of God abides for forever." So if you are pouring all your time into social media, we'll just stick with that one. Is that what we should be doing? Now, again, there's no scripture that says thou shalt not scroll through Facebook 4 hours a day. But if what is on your mind most of the time is scrolling through the different things and thinking about the different things which you were looking at on social media, is that what God wants you to do? No, he wants your mind to be on him. And he doesn't want you to just waste your time endlessly going through the things and the news and the updates of the world. Now, that doesn't mean that you can't ever get on Facebook. I'm not saying that. But where is your focus? Is your focus on God, or are you wrapped up in just the different things that the world has to offer, the different entertainment and things? Jesus also gave us an example. He sought first after the Father. Mark 1:35 says this, "And rising very early in the morning, while it was still dark, he departed and went out to a desolate place, and there he prayed." Before he did any miracles, before he spoke any sermons, before he confronted any Pharisees, he first went out and he prayed. And he sought his Father. He says, "God, I've got to spend time with you. I want to spend time with you. I need to know your will for today. I need to know you." So for us, we need to know God. That's his first and foremost desire for us. Not that we would build his kingdom, but first that we would know who he is, know his love, know his character, know that what he has given us, his rules and his regulations, are for our good and for our benefit. Know that he has good plans for us. And then as we continue to spend time with him, we catch his heart behind the different things that he has placed in his word. And we know, okay, this situation just came up. I believe God would want me to do this. Somebody just spoke something bad about me and evil about me. I think based on the time that I've spent with God and the things that I've read in his word, I think God would want me to bless that person. And so the more and more that you spend time with God, the more and more you know his character, and more you will find out what makes him happy. You will know what brings him joy. and you will know how he wants his kingdom built, which is contrary to how we build kingdoms on this earth. Just a little insight into some of the things that we should do for building God's kingdom. Some of the, and it's called the fruit of the Spirit. It's Galatians 5:22 through 24 says this. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, not just giving in to the lusts of our flesh and doing whatever we please and whatever we want. Against such there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Again, not just giving in to what our flesh wants, but giving that up for what God wants. And then 1 Corinthians 13 is the love chapter. And it says, love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. Love is servant, is a servanthood. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. And so, this is how we build the kingdom of God. By seeking first the King, spending time with him, knowing his character, knowing his love, and then moving and operating in the same way that he would and that Jesus would. I actually just had a conversation with somebody like, what do you do when you're living in a society where you know there's corruption and like there's just bad things happening? Should you not like just rebel and come against that and be like, that's not right? Well, there's certain things you can do, but that's not what Jesus did. He did not lead a rebellion in a natural sense. He actually said, you know, you should pay your taxes. I know they're corrupt and unjust, but you should pay your taxes because that's the law of the land. I did not come to abolish the taxes that you have to pay. I came so that you could love people and that you could help them know me and my love for them as well. So as we go into this new year, my heart, and I know God's heart, is before we start doing anything, before we start going after the things that we have thought about, first we should seek God. First we should spend time getting to know who he is, getting to know how much he loves us, which everything he's written in his word and in rules and promises is because he loves us. It's his love for us. And he wants you to know just how great his love is for us. So with that, next week, we are going to starting on Sunday, a period of fasting and prayer where we will just take extra time focused on God, focused on his presence, focused on his word, spending some extra time reading his word. And we will take this time seeking his will for our life, his will for Grace Harbor, his will for our family in 2026. And if you've already started making plans for yourself in 2026, I'd say put those on the back burner for a little bit. You should be like, okay, God, first I'm going to seek you. First I want to know you. And then if I know you, I will know how to build your kingdom. Amen? Amen. You can stand. We're going to, with this period of fasting and prayer, it's going to culminate on that 30th, Friday night, where we will spend just an elongated time in worship. We don't have really anything planned other than to worship God on that night. And we'll see where the Holy Spirit guides and directs. He may do certain different things. But before we do anything else this year, We need to set our hearts on God. Know the King of the kingdom in which we are to build. Know the builder. Know the builder, not just the blueprints. So the first step in knowing the builder is giving your life to Jesus. So with every head bowed, every eye closed, if you are here this morning, you have not submitted your life to Christ. If you have not accepted that amazing gift of the forgiveness of your sins, the washing of your sins, and you want to do that this morning, you say, yes, that's me. I want to give my life to Christ this morning. Can you just raise your hand? Is there anybody like that? Says, I need Jesus this morning. I want the forgiveness of my sins. I want to give my life to Christ. Anybody like that this morning? This is for those online as well. So we're going to pray this as a family. Can you just repeat after me? Father God, thank you for loving me so much that you gave your son Jesus to die for me. Jesus, forgive me of all my sin and help me to live for you and to know you from this day forward for the rest of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, if I could have the prayer team come on forward. If you need prayer for anything this morning as we close, I just encourage you to get prayer. But we're going to just spend some time as we finish this service out, spend time focusing on God once again, seeking first the King and the kingdom, and then we can seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. Amen. Amen. Let's worship.